song after the lyrics.
We're glad you're here this morning. We have some that are back that have been out because of sickness, and we're certainly glad to have you with us and thankful for the good songs that Bama led for us and the prayer by Jerry as we concentrate and put our minds on things above, on God and His Son and His Word, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's always encouraging to see you, each of you here at the services, to know that we have a like precious faith in God and in His Word. We know that God is powerful. He's great. He created the heaven and the earth. He made us. He made us in His image. And God controls it all. We sing songs about the creation and how God controls it all. How beautiful creation is. The raindrops as they fall. The sunshine as it comes forth. God controls it all. And so He is a great God, the God of heaven and earth, Jehovah. And we're here to worship Him in spirit and truth today. This morning, I'd like to, if you will, to turn to the book of Jonah. And let's read a few verses to begin our lesson. And as we turn there, let's think about, again, the power of God as we witness it on a daily basis. We see the sunshine and the moon at night and the stars. You can go out on a clear night and see the stars and the expanse of the universe and look up in awe at the power of God, who placed everything in the solar system, in this universe, and who has control over it all. We see the grass turning green. We see the flowers coming forth. We see the budding of things in the last couple of weeks. And even the rain we received this week is just the next morning. It's like everything is just freshened up. And I told my wife yesterday morning, we were going somewhere for a few minutes to take care of some business. And I told her, I said, look at the along the side of the road. The ditches were just, they were cleaned out. The rain had come, had been the winds had blown the leaves away and cleared the yard out. And you can see it just, He just swept it clean. And so the power of God and the control He has over the universe. And yet, we sometime in our life, we are bombarded by people and ideals and things and theories of man that think that they can change the things of God that He put in place. If they can think that they can change the makeup of man or the makeup of woman, or that a human being that God created, that they think they can change it to be either or sometimes claim to be both or more. And so people's minds that God gave them can be polluted by the devil. The devil goes about seeking those whom he may devour. The devil and the things of the world are the things that pull us away, our own lust. When we lust after the things of the world, and our lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. The sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So we really need to concentrate on God and His power and the power of His Word and who He is, and remember that and teach it to others. And so that others might believe and might have faith in God. Because there are so many people today that are turning their backs on the Word of God, on anything to do with a higher power, and think that mankind can control everything, even the weather, even the solar system. Think that man can control things such as how much sunlight comes onto the earth. God has control over that. He made all of these things, and we see in His Word that that's true. So this morning we're going to study for a few minutes about some great things of God in Jonah, some great things that's talked about in that book. But let's begin in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it. And to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." We see in this that verses 10 through 16 that the men then, they were afraid. They said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Two things were mentioned already in our reading about great things in the book of Jonah. There's about four or five of them we want to look at this morning. And this morning as we see Jonah and the things about that are written in the book, we know the story of Jonah. He was told to go preach against this great city, cry out against this great city because of their sin, and so that they might repent. Well, he tried to get away from God. He tried to run from God, and of course, he couldn't hide from God, and he did not get away from God, and he ended up being, after going to the ship and boarding it and going trying to get away from going to Nineveh, he ended up being thrown in the sea, and we know he ended up in the belly of a great fish. Later, he was released from it, and finally, he went and preached to that great city, and there was great repentance in that city, and Jonah sat on the tree, and he asked questions to God about, well, this was a great city, now they've repented, now what? And so we see in this the greatness of God. We see the fact that sometimes as human beings we refuse to perhaps obey the great commands of God, but when we finally do obey those commands that God asks us, that great things, good things can happen. And even sometimes when we're in the course of doing those things, we may not understand all about it, but we can do what God asked and do it willingly, and good things come from that. But let's look at these great things in the book of Jonah. And you're already aware of these things. You've said them in your lifetime probably numerous times and probably heard several sermons on it over the years. But in chapter 1 of Jonah, verses 1 and 2, and then chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it talks about some great things there in that great city. But now, he had a great call. The great call of Jonah to go and preach. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness was come up before me." So Jonah was called to go preach to the people of Nineveh. We today need to receive the call of God through His Word and from His Word to go and obey Him by being a Christian. Hear the word of the Lord. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of our sins. Be baptized. And then go forward. What? Doing as God commands. The great call to obey the gospel. The gospel call is a great call. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus gave the great commission to his apostles and said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that is baptized shall be saved. So to believe and be baptized equals salvation. Mark 16:15-16, that's what I quoted, but Matthew 28:19-20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do. So it's a great call to go out and teach the gospel. It's a great call to receive the gospel. Romans 1:16, we're saved through the power of the gospel. We're called by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So in essence, everyone receives a great call from God, and that is, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me and believe in me. Have faith in me, the Lord says, and repent of your sin, confess, and be baptized, and I will save you. So it's a great call to come to repentance. It's a great call to come to obedience. And then it's a great call for us as Christians to go and do as he asked us to do, to teach the word of God to others. Paul talked to Timothy about teaching other men. Teach other men who will learn the word of God, that in turn may be able to do what? Teach others also. We're to go into the world and spread the gospel. The early Christians set the example in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 of when they were persecuted. They went everywhere preaching and teaching the word. So Jonah received a great call to go preach against the city of Nineveh, that wicked city, and so those people could repent. We receive that same great call today from God through his word to come to him and repent and be baptized, become his child, go forward living and obeying his word and teaching it to others. We can teach it to our husbands and wives, our children, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors. We can teach the word of God, and we do teach the word of God if we're living according to his will. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16 talks about the fact to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we are teaching in some way. We're teaching by our very example to those people at work or at school or in the community or in their family. They either see Christ in us or they don't. If we're doing what God says and following his great call and obeying him, we're setting a good example. And by that good example, we're teaching others. But we can also teach others verbally, one-on-one, or in a group, or encourage others and invite them to attend services. So the great call is to come and obey me, God says, and go and do what's right and influence others. That's basically what he's telling Jonah to do. Go preach against that city. And so the gospel is to be taught. And we can receive that great call today, just as Jonah did, if we by faith will obey God. Well, let's look at the second a great thing in the book of Jonah, and that is a great city. We read about that earlier. Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. And chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Chapter 4, verse 11, again, he makes reference to that. He says, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city? So it was a great call to Jonah to go to a great city to what? To preach against that city and to that city because of their sin, because of the wickedness that was in their city, a great city. And so we have a great area wherein we can teach the gospel. It may be in our own house. It may be down the street. It may be in the workplace. It may be in the community. It may be in Alabama. It may be in Hawaii. It may be in Germany. It may be in Africa. Wherever we can be, we can teach the word of God. We can teach the word of God. And so the great call is to go into a great place and preach and teach the word of God. So in essence, the world is a great place. And God wants the world to hear the word of God. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So Nineveh was a great city. Jonah was to go there. But we live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. If we're not of the world, we're of Christ. And if we're of Christ, we're living in the world. We're just not participating in the sins of the world. So we have a great place, a great area, where we have opportunities every day to do what? teach the Word of God. So am I teaching the Word of God by a good example? Am I teaching the Word of God verbally to others? At least offering an invitation to others to a Bible study, to a Bible class, to a worship service, to a gospel singing, to a gospel meeting. We have a gospel meeting coming up the first week of June. The young man that's coming to preach is a fired up young preacher. He's preached here a few times when he was 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood, but he's preaching full time in West Virginia. Been up there about a year now, and he does a great job. I'm not just building up the man, I'm building up the plan, because he will preach the plan to us. Because he was taught the plan by his dad and his grandparents and his family, and he loves the Word of God. He has an opportunity to preach the Word of God. So are we interested in the Word? Are we going to invite others to come and hear that young man preach the Word of God? Because it's a great call. And it's a great call for us to invite others. We don't have to wait for the gospel meeting. We can invite others to the Wednesday night Bible class. We can invite others to Bible study on Sunday morning. We have some good classes on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We can invite others. So it's a great place. It's a great area. The world is big. There's a lot of people. Let's take opportunity to ask everyone we can. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, it was a great flight. Go to that great city, Jonah, and preach the great message. Well, it was a great flight for Jonah. We read about that already. Jonah rose to flee in the opposite direction from the presence of God. But you know what? He found out it's impossible to flee from the Lord's presence. The Lord knew exactly where he was. He went all the way down to the very bottom part of the ship. And the men said, "What's going on here?" Jonah knew that God knew where he was. It's my fault, gentlemen. It's my fault this storm's come upon, because the Lord told me to go and I didn't, and I'm here. I'm running from him, so you got to throw me overboard to stop it. But it was a great flight. He fled into the ship, and then this storm comes up. He had quite a flight, didn't he? Found himself in that, and then when he threw him overboard, he ended up in the belly of a great fish. To me, that's a great flight for something like that to happen. And then he was expelled from it, and he was able to live and go and preach. That's a great flight, and he ends up there, and everything had happened, and then he sits under the juniper tree. He had quite a flight. Well, today we can have a great flight too, and we do, really. In the course, down the road of living the Christian life, and teaching the gospel. You know, sometimes people make their flight harder than others. And sometimes it's hard for people to begin their flight in obeying God and following His Word and teaching others. Because they don't want to give in. They've got some things they've been doing they don't want to give up, because they know they'll have to give them up. Or it may be that they've got family members or friends that don't believe the Word of God, and they know they're probably going to lose some worldly friendships if they give it up. So they're holding on and they're resisting the gospel, and they make their flight hard because they don't give in. But finally, when their heart is moved, as they were on the day of Pentecost, they're pricked in their heart and they finally believe and say, "What must I do?" Well, you need to repent. You need to turn from your hard-heartedness, from holding on to the things you're holding on to, anything that prevents you, and express your faith in God and be baptized. Then they begin their flight when they're baptized. And then sometimes after they're baptized, the flight is hard. They'll get to work, and the old boys they're working with, "So you were baptized. Now you believe there's a God?" "Huh. Oh, you were baptized." And you go, "Where? That's not a very popular denomination, is it?" And they'll ridicule you. And then they'll tell their dirty jokes, and you don't want to listen to their dirty jokes. And then they'll come around and want you to participate in invested money on the ball game and invest in this bracket and want you to gamble. And you say, "I don't do that anymore because I'm a Christian." And then they say, "Ah, goody two shoes. I've been there. I know what it's like. I've worked with people like that." And so it's a great flight to try to resist that, isn't it? It's a hard flight. It's a hard flight. And then you go along and you're doing better and you're studying, and And then something happens in the church, you're just let down by someone that commits sin and it's publicly known, and you say, and then a few days later it happens again. And you say, the people in the church, what's going on? And so the devil wants you to think that everybody in the church is hypocrites because one person, it was evident that they got caught up in some kind of sin. We're not perfect. You won't find a perfect place. And I've had people tell me over the years, oh, we're going to change congregations because there's just so much going on over here where we go that we don't agree with. A couple came to visit us a number of years ago, and Helen and I had been at that congregation before where they worshiped for a number of years, and they showed up where I was preaching sometime later after we'd moved. And they came in and they stayed for all the services, and after the service was over, they wanted to talk. So I sat down and talked with them. I said, we're going to start attending here. We're leaving over there. And I said, well, wait a minute. Why are you leaving over there and coming over here? Well, we just don't like what's going on. Those elders over there, and we had appointed elders at that place, the congregation had, during that 9 or 10 years. And they said, oh, those elders, that we just don't put up with this. Just we're not going. We just don't believe this. We're going to come over here. And I said, well, you're going to find the same thing here, because we're going to do the same thing they're doing. And well, it's just a conflict, personal conflict. We'll be happier over here. And I said, well, look, you need to go back and you need to search your heart. You need to think about this. And you need to go talk to those elders. And you need to tell them how you feel. And you need to work it out. Well, they did. They didn't like what they heard. They thought I'd say, oh, just come on in. You know, it wasn't my place to welcome me in anyway, but they just wanted to talk to me about it. So I just told them straight up, you need to stay where you're at. You live within 4 football fields of the building, quarter of a mile or so. And so what happened was they went and talked to those elders, and they stayed. They stayed. And after that, the man told me, he said, you know, I'm glad we had that talk. Because we would have ran from one thing and came over there and think we were happy. And I said, well, you need to think about things like that. Because it's a great flight, folks. Everything may not always be as we want it to be in a congregation. But if the congregation is worshiping right and people are trying, you're not going to go anywhere where there's perfect preaching or perfect people or a perfect song leader or what you might call a perfect setup. But if it's done in spirit and truth, and it's the things that's done according to God's will as He instructs, and my friend, we need to learn to endure that flight and serve God. It's a great flight as a Christian. It is. Well, there's a great wind. Jonah 1 to verse 4. You know, God has power over all things. The wind, the sea, the tempest. We know He does. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus was able to walk on the water. God controls the seas. He controls the tempest. Jesus controlled that. God controls everything. Psalms chapter 107 and verse 25. God controls it all. The song we sing sometimes is a beautiful song. When we behold the beauties of creation, when we behold the wonders of creation, the spacious sky, the raindrops as they fall, we believe and we know that what? That God controls it all. Well, there was a great wind that came, and we know what happened. A great call, a great trial, a great trip, and a great win. God is over all. And we need to understand today that God is over everything. He has power of it all. And so don't let, as I mentioned in the beginning of the lesson, people and things and theories of men and wayside pushing of people of the world to take our faith in God away from us make us believe at any point that any person can make a man out of a woman or a woman out of a man or can change the makeup of the universe, to control how much sunlight comes into this earth, and how much water flows, and how much the trees grow or they don't. This earth has changed over the centuries. God made it, and He put things in motion for it to change. There are dry places that were once a lot of water. There's water in places that were once not so much water. There's forest, not as much forest in some places as there were others. But you know what? It all offsets itself. There's hot summers and there's cold winters. But they offset themselves. Why? Because God is great. He controls the wind, the rain, and the seas. And we need to remember how great God is. Well, very quickly, there's a great fish. God sent a great fish to swallow up Jonah. We know that. God made the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, the plant life, the animal life. Everything that man needed to sustain him in life. So he made a great fish. So we have people today are tell you that they think more of an animal that has no soul than they do of a human being. There's people that believe that. Now, I believe in taking care of animals. God provided man the provisions to be able to take care of animals that take care of him. But God put man dominion over all the animal life, over all the plant life. It's there for the good of man. And you have people jumping up and down and say, well, don't catch those fish. Don't have a steak. Don't have any ground beef. Oh, they're jumping up and down. But you can't do that. Well, God made all these great things, but He made them for man. He made all these things, and He saw that it was good, and everything He made was for man. He put man over control over all of it, but there was one thing lacking. He did not have a helpmate, so He made the woman and gave it to him, and everything was perfect. What a story the world needs to hear today. The world needs to hear about God who made the great fish, the fishes of the sea, the fowls of the air, and the animal life, and man, who has dominion over that, that's made for him. And understand that the natural course of cattle in a pasture replenishing the ground is not poisoning the earth. It's replenishing the ground so that grass can grow. God made it that way. And here are these people who push and push and push these radical theories. All we have to do is look in the Bible and see the greatness of God, the great fish that swallowed Jonah, and all these great things that's talked about, and see the power of God. Well, there was great repentance. After he got out of the belly of the great fish, he ended up in this place where he went up to a great call to go to Nineveh. He went there and he preached, and there was great repentance. He took that great message to the people, and there was great repentance. Chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. What great repentance it was. Jonah began to enter the city of the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will return and relent and turn away and from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Verse 10, then God saw their great works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. They repented. They repented. And you know what? We don't need to give up. No matter how things get, no matter how much pushing that society does against the truth and against God and against right and against morals and the natural things of God, no matter how much pushing is done, no matter how many voices is raised, no matter how much protesting is done against it, just keep preaching the word. Just keep living the word. And there's going to continue to be some repentance. And at times there'll be greater repentance. Sometimes there'll be more than others. The Word of God and the preaching can make great changes in people's lives. Well, see the great kindness of God. God was kind to these people. When they repented and done His will, they were forgiven. He was a merciful God to send Jonah to them. God was kind then, and He's kind and gracious today. You know what? We have access to that kindness today through the Word of God. God has provided the way that we can have access. There are so many great things mentioned in the book of Jonah throughout the Bible. Let's look at the great things that God has done. How great He is. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. We have that song. Then we have the song in our book, number 5, I believe. It may not be number 5, but how great Thou art. How great. How great is His message. How great is His mercy. How great is His goodness. The question is, the great things of God are revealed through His creation, through His grace and mercy, and through the great sacrifice of His Son. The question is, am I going to receive the great salvation that's offered from God through the great sacrifice of His Son and the great mercy of God the Father? That's your question and my question today. Let's answer that question for ourselves. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when all will stand before the Son of God and be judged. Are we ready for that day? Let us receive what God says. Let us listen to His Word and take the lessons from Jonah and other places in the Bible and realize our weakness and God's greatness, our need for God and what He offers to us, and latch on to it. If you haven't done that, if you haven't been baptized, why not do that today and leave this building receiving the great blessing of forgiveness? If you're here and you have something wrong in your life as a Christian, pray to God, and He is powerful. He'll heal you, and He'll forgive you. If it's something of a public nature, we can help you and pray with you. We'll do that if we need to, if that's your desire. Bellman's going to lead us. If you need to respond, please do so at this time.